translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Srila Prabhupada. At that time, the residents of the higher planetary systems, namely the demigods, the Gandharvas, the Vijaharas, the Siddhas, and the Charanas, all being very pleased with Bali Maharaj, simply non-duplicitous, acted, praised His glories, sorry, His qualities, and showered Him with millions of flowers. Purport. Avajjavam, simplicity or freedom from duality, is a qualification of a Brahmana and a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava automatically acquires all the qualities of a Brahmana. Yashtadyati bhakti bhagavate akinchana savahe gunas tatra samate sura. Bhagmatam 5.18.12. Vaishnava should possess the fundamental qualities such as satya, sama, dhamma, tatiksha, and avitra. There cannot be any duplicity in the character of a Vaishnava. When Bali Maharaj acted with unflinching faith and devotion unto the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, this was very much appreciated by the residents of the higher planetary systems. Om Gyana Vananda Syakana Slakayata Sutumina Tasmai Sri Namaha Shimakti Churu Saminami Namine Om Gyana Vananda Syakana Kana Slakayata Shilapashi Govina Maharaja. Bhaktisiddhanta Swati Thakur used to say in his lectures, simplicity is Vaishnavism. And there's a little story, well, actually it's a true story, it happened in Orissa some time back. One time there was one mother-in-law and one daughter-in-law going to some Bhagavatam Sapta in a nearby village. So they would go there. So on the way there was a river, so they had to cross a river. So they crossed the river, the water was knee deep, and they heard the class given, they heard the narration of the Bhagavatam, and then in the evening they would return crossing the same river. So one of the days they went, the speaker was saying, "You just chant the name of Hari and you can cross the ocean of material nascience easily." So then the class finished. Then on the way back they had to cross this river, but this river was a tidal river, so the water would go up or go down. So on the way there, that day, in the morning, the water was ankle deep. But on the way back, it was up to here, just about up to here. So on the way back, they had to cross this river. And so, when they saw the water was up to their necks, the daughter-in-law, because she took to heart exactly, she took to heart what the speaker said, and she walked across the water, no difficulty. Now the mother-in-law started walking across. And gradually the water was coming up, getting higher, just about to enter it into the mouth, and then she was almost drowning. And then she shouted to her daughter-in-law, "Please, what are you doing there? Save me, come and get me." The daughter-in-law said, "Didn't you hear the speaker? If you chant the name of Hari, Hari, you can cross the ocean, the Nescience, very easily. So what's this little river compared to the ocean, the Nescience? Just chant the name of Hari." And then the mother-in-law started arguing and said, "I'm your superior. You're my daughter-in-law. Come and save me." So in the end, the daughter-in-law came and saved her mother-in-law. So the principle of this point is that the daughter-in-law took, with her simple faith, she actually believed what she heard from the Bhagavad Gita. She took it into her heart. She actually believed and entered her heart and accepted it. But the mother-in-law didn't do it, because in her heart there was some duplicity. In her lips, from the lips, she accepted what was said, but in the heart she did not accept. So the simple story, it's very simple, that we should accept what this Bhagavad Gita says and take it to our heart, even though sometimes it may seem very impossible. But with Lord Caitanya's mercy, the impossible becomes possible. Without Lord Caitanya's mercy, the possible becomes impossible. And so this is the now Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur. He had all these. Now, if we read Vaishnav Ki, with his essay on what a Vaishnava is, a Vaishnava is above a Brahmana, as we know with that pastime, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur was going to address a debate between the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur felt sick. So that time he was called Bimla Bhashad. He volunteered to go in place of his father. And he actually praised the Brahmanas. This is the start of the debate. He praised the Brahmanas' qualities, which pleased the Brahmanas very much. Then he started on the qualities of a Vaishnava. And the audience had to were the audience that these debates were actually in the open, so the audience would be the judges. So judging by the reaction of the audience, who the verdict was given, let's say. So after Bimla Bhashad finished his little speech, let's say, glorifying the Vaishnavas, all the audience ran and touched his feet, and this of course upset the Brahmanas, of course. And then he approached soon after his father, looking for initiation or looking for a spiritual master. And of course, his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, said this: "Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj, he's your spiritual master. So you go and find him." So we know all the story of how he took initiation. Now, it's, as I said, its original name was Bimla Bashad, because now that name came, his father, Bhagwan Thakur, called him that, because in Jagannath Puri, where Bhagwan Thakur was was a governor there, let's say. So the actual tradition there is that after the boga that's offered to Lord Jagannath is Bishad, then the Bishad is offered to Bimla Devi. There's a little temple, haven't been there, but devotees said that haven't been there. There's a little temple called, a little temple of Bimla Devi, which is another name for Durga Devi. Because there's a whole pastime how Durga wants Jagannath's remnants. So what's offered to Jagannath is then is offered to Bimla Devi. So then after the Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was appeared in Jagannath Puri, he offered, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur offered his son, this picture, his son, to Jagannath and then to Bimla Devi. So therefore he was called, and of course, Bashad also means mercy. So he was called, named after Bimla Bashad, the mercy of Bimla Devi. The same principle is at the Jagannath Mandir in Samantadweep. Now that, you know, they go there, they offer the Jagannath Mahabishad there, then they take it to Samantha Devi and in the far corner there. And they do the same in Shilaguri as well, Shilaguri Temple. And so his name was, as I said, was Bimla Bashad. And then he approached his father saying, I need a spiritual master, He said, you go and find this Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He's somewhere in the woods, in the jungle. So we know that eventually Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj agreed to take initiation. Now, the spot or the place where Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj actually gave initiation to Bimla Bashad is actually, it's when we go to these places in Vrindavan or Mayapur or Jagannath Puri, we think that some of them look totally insignificant. You know, we could be walking on the in the most pastime of Krishna or Lord Chaitanya without even knowing it. So for many years I've been going to Mayapur. So every year I would go to Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's house, Suklananda Kunj and Sarabhi Kunj. So of course we have to get the boat across the Jalangi. And now I read also, and this is in one book, and Jani Vas, I think, or Pangajangri Prabhu confirmed it, that when we actually cross the boat, when we get on the boat on the Mayapur side, and we get off that boat on the other side, that's called Sarup Ganj, as we all know. As soon as we get off that boat, that's the area, or that few meters, that's the where Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj actually initiated Bimla Devi. When we get off that boat, that's the spot. And so when I used to take devotees on Parakram to Godrumadweep. I would point this out. You know, along this 3 meters, that's where Gaurakishorabandhu Maharaj gave initiation to Bhimla Prasad. There. And so that's now in Mayapur Dham, Sridhar Mayapur Dham, there's so many places of actually you can see some of the Mahabishad ornament or remnants of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There's three places which I used to like to go into. Now, one of them is you go into the Titanya Mat. It used to be, you know, the headquarters of the Gaudiya Mat. Now, as we go in one side, you come out the other side generally. So as you go in, is the house of Chandrasekhar. And you look in the steps, there's a sign there. There's nothing to see inside the house. Nothing to see. So I wouldn't call it a lie, I'll call it an untruth. So I knew there was something in there, otherwise there'd be no sign. So for some time I prayed to Lord Titania, if there's something in there, I want to see it. I don't want to see it. So then, from there, I would go, we would take to the guests to the Samadhi of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So there was generally one little, short, chubby little Gaudiya Mat brahmachari who would do the midday aarti there. Somehow we became friends. He could speak good English, and he said, "You know, sometimes I do service in the house over there. So next time you come, just look inside the door, and if I'm there, I'll let you in." So then, a few weeks later, I brought the guests, and I said, I was praying to Lord Titania, please let him be there today, please let him be there. So then we get out the taxi, go inside, and I look inside, he's sitting there, and he said, "All right, you can come in." I said, "How are these guests here?" He says, "Yes, you can come in. They can come as well. They can see the mercy." So we went upstairs, and in this room, we went into Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's bedroom. And there, you saw his nice, and you entered the room, and it was just like, it's nothing out, the atmosphere was completely nothing of this material world. And then, on the floor, was a little thing that said something about this size here, about this high, and there was a cloth covering it. And he took the cloth off, and there was two pairs of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's shoes. And then on the left-hand side, because he used to sleep facing that way, that's right, yeah, with the pillows that way, there was about a few of his walking sticks there. And then he took us onto the roof of the we walked through the back of the bedroom onto the roof, and we could see the whole of the Titanya Mat. You see everything from there. Now, so next time you go, hope that you can, you know, there's something there, and you can ask the there's generally two brahmacharis sitting there. And now generally today, it's like on the appearance day and disappearance, it's like a free-for-all on that day. Anybody can go up and see those shoes generally on that day, on this day, and his disappearance day. But generally, one cannot go up unless one can see the brahmacharis there. Then, before that, we know we come to the Jamastan of Lord Caitanya. Now, I heard then you turn left to go down to the Ganga, and then turn right. Now down there, that's Rudradreep. In Rudradreep, there's the Rudradreep Caitanya Mat. It's a very small temple, and there's a very special deity of Lord Caitanya by himself. Because in that little temple the deity, as I said, of Lord Caitanya by himself. That's the deity that Bhaktisiddhanta Swati Thakur chanted 192 rounds for 10 years in front of. He's about maybe 30 inches high, 2.5 feet high. It's Lord Caitanya by himself, and he's very, very, very sweet deity. And I walked a couple of times, and it takes about 45 minutes for me. And the in charge, or the sannyasi in charge, is Bhakti Bhai Bhav Maharaj. He speaks little English. And it's a very nice little temple, and it's a little nice little goshala. So that's another little area one should go to. The local people know where it is, so just you can ask them or get a rickshaw there. So when you get there, you see an iron. It's a bit difficult to find the temple. So you go to there. There's a little. They stop out on the road. You'll see the temple, you'll see a rusted gate with a padlock on it. But one has to backtrack maybe a few meters, take a dirt track down, and then you come to small crossroads, then turn right, and then you turn left into the compound. And it's a very sweet deity there, and there's also the deity of Radha Madhava, which were installed on Bhaktisiddhanta Swati Thakur's appearance day in 96. Now, also is very one of the few, gems which I've in my trying to be Krishna conscious was actually meeting and taking darshan of one of Bhaktisiddhanta Swati Thakur's disciples in 1994. And that was Bhakti Panod Puri Maharaj, affectionately known as Old Puri Maharaj. There's a few devotees from the manor where we were at the yoga pit. And we just finished taking darshan of Lakshmi Nrisimhadev and Gaur-Gadadhar deities there. So, who knows who's there, who's been there before? There's a little door at the back there to go into the kirtan hall. So I saw this sannyasi there. And I paid my obeisances to him. He was sitting there with some Western body disciples. So one of them asked Maharaj, How can one understand Krishna? And Maharaj, in his broken English, gave a very simple, he said, a very nice answer. He said, it's very difficult to understand Krishna, because he's crooked, he's bent in three places, so it's very difficult to understand. But if you, you can see, I could see he was speaking on the Tadviti Prapartena verse here. And he said, but if you take shelter of a spiritual master, surrender under him fully, submissive inquiry, and serve him, because he has seen the truth, he will actually reveal the truth to you. So this is the way to understand Krishna. And then I thought, wow, this is a fantastic answer, it really was. And then he saw me sit in the background, and then we had a little conversation for 5 minutes, so that's one of the, I never forgotten him, because he had, and I was thinking, Champahati, that's where the original self-manifested Gorgadada deities are there. Now as you go in, there's a long, long pathway. It's about maybe 100 meters long. It's the temple. And there's the wonderful form of self-manifested Gorgadada deities there 500 years ago. And on the right-hand side, there's a concrete mandap, let's say, made of and on the far. So one day I went there, because it's in the summer, I was sitting there, and in the far corner, on the left-hand far corner, I saw a bush, a tulsi bush. So unintentionally, I kicked the tulsi bush. So I picked my obeisances and touched or moved the tulsi bush. Then I saw a stone plaque. This is the place where Bhaktisiddhanta Swati Thakur gave sannyas to Bhakti Panod Puri Maharaj in about 1928, 1930 or something like that. And then I realized, yes, I was fortunate to get actually darshan of one of Bhaktisiddhanta Swati Thakur's disciples. And then I realized that the way he spoke now was like this. He spoke Bhakti Bhana Puri Maharaj, because it said, you can tell the spiritual master of a disciple the way he acts and speaks. So Bhakti Bhana Puri Maharaj, he spoke very boldly, but also he spoke in a nice way. And there's a quote from here. This is from one book. It's by Bhaktisiddhanta. It's some instructions by Bhaktisiddhanta Swati Thakur. One must speak the truth always in a nice way. And another quote is, unless we speak the truth boldly, we cannot please Guru and Gauranga. Lost it. Unless we speak the truth boldly, we cannot please Guru Angaranga. In the end, I will be cheated or become an atheist. So, I could see that, and I was actually remembering that time in 94, and I could see, yes, he had definitely the characteristics of his spiritual master. He spoke the truth in a nice way, but he spoke it boldly, confidently, with confidence, knowing that what he said was the absolute truth. Now this is now Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, who would always speak the absolute truth. He wasn't afraid. Also, there's another quote where he says, I must speak the absolute truth, even though some of the audience may not like it, but I have to speak the absolute truth. I have to. And as we know, he was the Nrisinga, he was like a lion, and he would be bold and speak against the smarter brahmanas, and these smarter brahmanas, they would walk. If they saw him walking on the side of the road, coming towards them, they would cross the other side of the road to avoid him. So, excuse me. So, so they were actually afraid to speak to him, because he knew they would be defeated by him. Now, one night, also, Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur got up at midnight, and he started to walk down towards the boating ghat in Mayapur at midnight. So one of his brahmacharis saw this, heard some disturbance, and he saw his spiritual master. Where's my spiritual master going at midnight? You know. So then he followed him, and it was pitch dark, and Bhaktisiddhanta started to walk down the road, and the brahmachari was following him. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur knew someone was following him. So then, he said, who's there? He said, oh, it's so-and-so Das. He said, okay, you can come with me tonight. Only tonight you can come with me tonight. Only you. No one else. So then they went down. They stopped just outside. They stopped under a banyan tree, which used to be at the entrance of Nandacharya's house. Unfortunately, this tree has left its body now. So they waited there. And then this brahmachari, he could hear some kirtan, some harinam coming from the boating ghat towards, coming up that way. And then he could see all the, he could see people from, and this harinam was no ordinary harinam. It was actually the Gandharvas, the Siddhas, the Charanas, all doing harinam. He could see them. And he said, Ambassador Andrew Thakur said, that these people here, these charanas and gandharvas and so on, they're doing an harinam here every night. But you cannot see them. But by my mercy, you can see them tonight. And then later they went back. Then later that brahmachari became a sannyasi and when preaching started his own temple. Now also he was very strict because Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur had no duplicity in his life. He was very strict with his disciples. So one time there was one sannyasi who was sitting in his room, not preaching, just eating Mahabhishad, that's all he's doing, and chanting. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur gave him instructions. He said, I want you to do a 6 month preaching tour. Just preach for 6 months. And don't think of what you're going to eat, because you're a sannyasi. And you go in bare feet, and this is it. And don't worry where you're going to sleep, or what you're going to eat. You just preach, because you're a sannyasi. You should rely on Krishna. So this sannyasi went, but instead of doing a preaching tour, he did a Ganga tour. He took darshan of all the deities there. And on each Vishnu temple, he took darshan of the deities and took Mahabhishad. That's all he did for 6 months. So, of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur, somehow or other, he found out. So when this sannyasi came back, he called for him. He said, Maharaj, you had a nice tour? He said, yes, very nice. He said, I understand that you just took darshan in temples and took Mahabhishad. You didn't preach. For this, I'm going to give you some special mercy. Oh, I said, mercy, huh? Okay. So then he called his secretary in, and the secretary brought in two new sets of brahmachari clothes. He said, from today, when you leave here, there's room for you in the brahmachari ashram, and I've told the temple commander that you have washed pots and cut vegetables for 6 months because you disobeyed my instructions. So for 6 months he had to wash the pots and cut vegetables. But then after 6 months he gave his sannyas back. And when the other sannyasis heard this, what happened to this sannyasi, they all went out preaching. And never with his the pastime was a sannyasi, one of his sannyasis fell down. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur was going to reject him outright. And he begged, this sannyasi begged, please, please don't reject me, please. Please don't reject me. I know I have fallen down. I know I've done wrong, but please don't reject me. Okay. For 1 year, you have to sit at the as I said earlier, when you go to the Titanya mat, you go to the entrance, and then you generally leave at the Radhakund end and go downhill end. There's another little gate down there. So you sit at the front entrance there for 1 year, for 24 hours. For 1 year, and pay obeisances to all the Vaishnavas that come in for 1 year. regardless of the weather, winter, rain, summer, for 1 year. Then even then I may not accept you back. But, you know, so he did that, actually. He sat out there for 1 year. He sat it out. They gave him Bashardim, you know, because he actually did it, Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur didn't give him back his sannyas. He went down to Brahmachari again. But he could live in the mat again afterwards. So this is some of the discipline of Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur. Now also, one time, the British, the governor of the British governor of Calcutta wanted to come to Mayapur Dham. And if you think the road was bad then, now, you should have seen it in those days. So the British governor's advisors said you should go by boat because the road is very bumpy all the way to Mayapur Dham. So then somehow or other they informed the British authorities, informed the council, the Nadia District Council, that the British governor's coming, he's coming by car, and the road is very bumpy, but he's still coming by car. So then, as you come off the main road, as we know, you turn left, you cross a level crossing, and that way. So that was even worse than the main road. So then the Nadia Council, District Council, as I suppose we could call it, they didn't know what to do. So they went to Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur and said, the governor's coming. And he said, you know, we should, I think, you know, the road's pretty bad. He said, it's okay. We'll just build a new road on top. So within 48 hours, He organized 10,000 people and they built a new road in 48 hours. So even though he was, now you could see from this, he supervised that road and that book by Bhakti Prakash Maharaj. There's a picture of Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur with the British governor standing on that road. So that's some of the pastimes of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, whose appearance day today is. We should pray to him that we can get the mercy, his mercy, and then we can somehow or other, we can become Krishna conscious, we can become fixed up, we can become determined as he was, fixed in our vows. Because as we know, he was in Jagannath Puri, he ate an unoffered mango. And his father, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, gently chastised him. He said, you know, that wasn't offered to Jagannath. So as we know from that day, he took a vow never to eat mangoes again. Even though apparently I've read that they tried to offer him mangoes at the Vyasa Puja. But he wouldn't take mangoes. He said, I was an offender. So I cannot, I was an offender I made the offence of eating a mango unoffered to Lord Jagannath. So I'm not taking this mango ever. And he kept that vow. So we could see he was fixing his vows. And he wouldn't take any, any lack of discipline in his disciples. But also at the same time, he was very, very kind. One time, one brahmachari went to see him, and he said, "Oh, Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, I have this complaint." And he said, "What? What's the complaint?" He said, "Is this brahmachari, he's doing funny things. He's funny. He's weird. He's strange. He's following the four radical principles. Yes, he's following, but he's doing strange things." And then the list of complaints and was coming out. This brahmachari was reciting so many complaints. Ambassadanta Saritakur there for 1 hour just listened to him. And then Ambassadanta Saritakur said, has he got any good qualities? He says, yes. He sings wonderfully, Agora Arti, and plays the madanga nicely. He says, why didn't you say this in the first place? I want you to always see. All right. He said, he's conditioned soul. And he has these things, but you should just see the good side of him. And then you won't see the other side. Now also one time, university lecturer from Calcutta came to see him. He travelled all the way from Calcutta, and he wanted to see Bastani. He had a few questions to ask him. So Bastani Saritakur was busy in his office, his room. And his secretary said, "There's somebody from Professor somebody who's coming to see you." He said, "I'm busy at the moment. I'll see him in about a couple hours." Now, in between, you can request him to go to the kitchen and wash pots. So then, secretary went and said, "Maharaj is busy at the moment, he'll see you in 2 hours, but he's requesting you to go to the kitchen and wash pots, please, if you can, and then he'll call you." So then this professor, no false ego or nothing, he went and washed pots. So the Master Dhamma Thakur called him an hour later. He said, he's called his secretary now, I'll see him. And then the secretary went in the kitchen and said, "Maharaj will see you now." He said, the professor said, "There's no need to see him now, because all my questions have been answered by washing the pots." So whatever questions he had, I don't know it doesn't say, but they were all washed, they were all answered by washing the pots. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saritakur, it said he knew this. So this is why he actually sent him to wash the pots. And so he knew how to deal with the individuals nicely, and the disciples or guests. So I'll stop there. If there's any questions, I will try to answer.